Good evening, everyone. As I mentioned at the very beginning of Mass, the last Sunday of the beautiful Christmas season, so tonight we enter into the mystery of the baptism of the Lord. We had little baby girls baptized this Sunday here at the cathedral, a beautiful gift to their parents, a beautiful gift to the church, and a beautiful gift to our cathedral family. Before a word about this great feast and the conclusion of the Christmas season, I feel an obligation to mention what occurred in our nation's capital this past week that may just be a symptom of the divisions and darkness that have been part of our life in the United States of late. I don't know about you, but on Wednesday, I had just a feeling of rather serious anxiety. I attended a conference, that's where I was on Wednesday, a conference and a retreat, and one of the presentations last week was on Saint Joseph, and that came from the Holy Father's apostolic letter, Patris Cordae, is translated from the Latin into English, with the Father's heart. The reason Pope Francis has inaugurated the year of St. Joseph this year, it's the 150th anniversary of the declaration of St. Joseph as the patron of the Universal Church. So he has proclaimed this year from the Feast of the Immaculate Conception this past December to next December as the year of St. Joseph. You probably are aware, St. Joseph is also the patron of the Archdiocese. Bringing all that together, it came to me following really a very powerful and beautiful presentation on St. Joseph, and in the context of the Holy Father's apostolic letter, that maybe St. Joseph indeed is one that would be very helpful for us in the coming days and weeks and months, to turn to him for help and to just remember his stellar example, especially as we've heard in his role during the Christmas season. I have some ideas about that I will share with you in the coming weeks. What caught my attention mostly in really two presentations, one by Dr. Scott Hahn, the other by Father Boniface. Father Boniface is a Benedictine monk. And I never thought about this before, but they spoke about St. Joseph. You know, he is the only one in sacred scripture, one of the few in sacred scripture, that there is not any recorded word that he said. It was all really following what not only God, but God's voice through the angels that came to him, kind of guiding him and telling him, asking him, directing him, this is what we need for you to do, what God needs for you to do, Joseph. And the phrase that they used was, Saint Joseph was comfortable with the darkness. Comfortable with the darkness. I don't know about you, but I guess I would always say about myself that I would be a little more afraid of the dark than comfortable with the darkness. The reason they used this phrase was that while experiencing, we heard it at Christmas, the beautiful sacred scriptures, that at times St. Joseph, having some fear, a little bit of confusion about understanding what was happening, but he found a place for the Christ child where the little one was to be born. He found that place at night, in the darkness. We know in our own lives, sometimes from those dark places, good things spring forth. Certainly as part of our faith, what we celebrate at Christmas, from that very moment that the little one was born and appeared, the world began to change. That's guided for us by the great Advent and Christmas prophet Isaiah. We heard it on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Those who lived in darkness have seen a great light. He went on to explain that following the instructions of the angel, Joseph took the child and his mother, but took them in the dark night to depart for Nazareth, to protect Jesus from the deadly plan of Herod. It was from the darkness and in the darkness of the night Mary and Jesus would be safe and under his care. So I think in this time in particular for us, really always, the very first and most important thing for us to do is to turn to prayer. And I want to suggest that during this time would be good for us to turn to prayer to Saint Joseph, that we too will be able to move through the darkness of night into the light of a new day. The light of a new day, especially for our nation. I'll have a bit more to say about that in the days ahead. In the Gospel of St. Mark, he begins his Gospel in the desert, at times another dark and dangerous place. This is where St. John baptizes and where Jesus will be tested by the Satan in the desert. We'll hear that on the very first Sunday of the Lenten season. We always do. It's the very first gospel where Jesus is tempted by Satan three times in the desert. So for St. Mark, the desert is a place at the fringes of the social order. It's neither a town nor a country, not a village, but it's off in the distance. When St. John comes preaching repentance, in the desert, that normal order is turned inside out. St. Mark tells us that all the country of Judea, all the people of Jerusalem, were coming to him in the desert, confessing their sins, seeking baptism. So the faraway deserted place becomes something different. Becomes a center of lots of activity. We read between the lines in St. Mark's Gospel, we can almost hear the bustle and the noise of all those folks gathered and clamoring for his attention. So according to St. Mark, all of Judea empties itself into the wilderness to come to St. John for baptism. As those who, for whatever reason, even like you, me, St. Joseph, don't always understand, they're poised in the desert, ready to accept a new way of life. St. John the Baptist is clear that that new way of life begins with repentance and the conversion that it requires. So in this crowd, pushing and surging forward, as the Baptist draws them into the waters of baptism, it seems that they are longing for something, longing for forgiveness, healing. In the middle of all of that, we, as they did, as we heard, have their very first encounter with Jesus Christ. Not like the other evangelists, at least two out of the three of them, St. Matthew and St. Luke, St. John presents us Jesus for the first time, not as a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, or a refugee fleeing from the wrath of Herod, but he presents him as one in the crowd. Jesus lines up with all the folks on the bank of the Jordan. He's waiting his turn to come before John the Baptist, the cooling waters of the Jordan, to be baptized. And it's at this moment when Jesus most identifies himself with all of those who are longing and seeking something deeper, something better. St. Mark describes it as the heavens are torn open, the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove. It's the same Holy Spirit that will fill Jesus throughout all of his earthly ministry, as he comes to bring health to those who are sick, as he touches the leper, bringing him back into the community of Israel. We're going to hear as he eats with prostitutes and tax collectors. Suddenly, day following day, the world is turned topsy-turvy. And that which makes Jesus seem so different from us, as being without sin, is really that which makes him identify with us. But identify with us so deeply as that he is willing and ready in the desert to stand in the very midst of us. It's St. Mark's way of saying very powerfully, he is one with us. One with us in all things but sin. Because sin can never be solidarity. Sin is the fragmenting of the human race, what makes us stand apart from each other. Loneliness, suspicion. So to have no sin, like Jesus means, then, the very first thing he's going to do is to love the sinner. That old axiom, he's not going to love the sin, but he's going to love the sinner. He's going to want to be with the sinners, you and me. Set them free. Eat and drink and die for them. And it's all because his baptism as ours was different. It was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that continues to influence, to guide, to break open like the same flames upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, sending them from the upper room out once again into the bustle and the noise of the morning street in Jerusalem. Day's going to be turned topsy-turvy again. So in the baptism of Jesus, we see him identify with us completely, totally, simply standing right smack in the middle of us. So too for us tonight. Sometimes it can be hard to be loved like this, so completely, without any reservation. Surely today's feast of the baptism of the Lord is a sure sign of hope for us. Jesus stands among us. He's not afraid to be labeled one with us, just here in the midst of us. In the midst of the crowd. So as St. Paul says, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the very righteousness of God.